ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. A communications blackout in Gaza easing as phone and internet has been restored in some parts of the strip. The blackout impacting critical humanitarian aid from the UN, which said it couldn't coordinate shipments. A Colorado judge says former President Trump can't appear on the state's Republican primary ballots after a challenge to his eligibility under the 14th Amendment's insurrection clause. The judge said that despite also saying that she believes Trump engaged in insurrection on January 6, 2021. The NTSB investigating a Chicago commuter train crash on Thursday that injured 38 people, NTSB Chair Jennifer Hamendi.
We have not yet reviewed the event recorders or the inward and outward facing cameras. We will do that shortly.
The crash happened when the train collided with snowplow equipment left on the tracks. OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, has fired its co-founder and CEO Sam Altman. The company board firing him, citing a communication issue. This is ABC News. Millions of Americans will head out for the Thanksgiving holiday, many travelers getting a head start to what will be a busy travel week. ABC's Andy Field with that story.
Traveler Maggie Ippolito has a foolproof way to avoid the Thanksgiving travel crush.
We'll be heading back actually the day after Thanksgiving. And last year we did it and it was fabulous.
AAA predicts 55.5 million of us will travel this Thanksgiving weekend, nearly 2.5% more than last year. Next Tuesday and Wednesday are the busiest fly and drive days. Andy Field, ABC News.
Fox Sports and Amazon host Carissa Thompson has taken to social media to clarify comments she made earlier this week on a podcast that she said she would make up sideline reports during NFL games. Her remarks have brought on widespread condemnation. Thompson says she never fabricated quotes from players or coaches, but would report on her observations on occasions when coaches didn't talk or give her information. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the civic media team on your local station, Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan, Pam Yonke, welcome to civic media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 AM. Keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a...
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Amtrak plans to double its service from the Twin Cities through Wisconsin to Chicago. Starting next year, Amtrak will add a second daily round trip. Federal and state agencies and the railroads are working out the details. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she's pleased with the progress made in the 2 years since the bipartisan federal infrastructure law was passed. In particular, she says all lead water pipes in Wisconsin are being replaced.
We're expecting to almost double the rate at which lead pipes are removed just in the next few years. And it's an example, again, of just a win-win-win for people who turn on the faucet. They want to know that their water is safe and clean.
Baldwin says rural Wisconsin is also benefiting from new high-speed internet. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
College hoops tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Head coach Greg Gard and the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team will be at home tonight in the Kohl Center, taking on a team from Pennsylvania, Robert Morris University. The Badgers now 1-2 for the season after losses to Tennessee and the other night at Providence. Also in Madison, Camp Randall busy today with the final WIAA State Football Championships, Divisions 1, 2, and 3 competing for the state tournament trophy. NFL Packers host the Chargers on Sunday, the kickoff at noon. Green Bay will be wearing those green jerseys with gold numbers from the 1950s that have been so popular the past 3 years. After a slow start, Packers running back A.J. Dillon seems to be back to his old self. Matt LaFleur
Yeah, I think he's done a much better job in terms of running with better pad level, finishing forward, breaking tackles. Certainly, I think that's going to be a big key in this game. I think, you know, you look at the Chargers.
That's the Packers head coach, Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Bright sunshine today with highs around 49. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 30. High of 49 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 30.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, running our audio, producing, making us sound good, taking your calls, greeting you with a warm, friendly smile on this TGIF November 17th.
Hey. What are you calling here for?
I built you up as warm and friendly, and now you'd be prickly? Come on.
Well, I had to.
You're a very warm, friendly person. People call in, you say hello, very kind. You put them on hold, and we're set to go.
Bada-bing, bada-boom. I say, thanks for listening to the Todd Albaugh Show. Can I have your name and where you're calling from?
There you go. A warm, friendly smile. That's what you need. Glad to have Mr. Zommers here. Glad to have you along as well here on a TGIF. Coming up later this hour, Mr. Zommers will give us his board game of the week. Also, taking a look at what we're thankful for and attitude of gratitude on this Friday as well. Glad to have you along with us. Want to just finish up because we're kind of up against the clock there at the end of the last hour. Want to finish up on this call from Scott Milwaukee about our last topic because it was a great call. And he, you know, he's not, in my opinion, he's not entirely wrong. We were talking about the University of Wisconsin system and the closing of these two-year colleges across Wisconsin. And really, this was all inspired by this editorial in the Cap Times yesterday in which they called out State Senator Howard Markline, the co-chair of the powerful Joint Finance Committee, and said, look, this is a guy who, after the Speaker of the Assembly, the majority leader in the Senate, the next two most powerful legislators in the building in the Capitol are the co-chairs, the Senate and the Assembly co-chairs of the Joint Finance Committee. Why are they the most powerful? Or this, you know, after the two leaders? Well, it's because they are the co-chairs of the Finance Committee, which controls where all of our tax money goes, how it's allocated, how the biennial budget's put together. And they wield enormous power. And of course, they get an awful lot of campaign contributions as well. Typically, the co-chairs of the Finance Committee raise just as much money in their fundraising, almost as much sometimes, as the Assembly Speaker and the leader of the State Senate. Why? Because they control the money, and so people want to influence them, right? So they wield enormous power. And the fact that Howard Markline is the co-chair of the Finance Committee would go to Richland Center, Richland County, and look people in the eye. And I heard it with my own ears. I saw it with my own eyes. He told people, well, look, you know, I think you people, you know, think I have a lot more power than I actually do. And he kind of played all this down. And the Cap Times calls it out, as we have on our show, and says, look, that's just not accurate. He does have the power to put monies where he thinks are important. And so the Capital Times is making the argument that part of the reason that the campus closed at Richland Center was the lack of funding. Now, Scott called in as someone who I'm not sure exactly
again, we ran out of time, so I'm not exactly sure what his role is, but somebody who says he's involved in education across the state, I take him at his word. And he's saying that it's not so much money, that it truly is because of declining enrollment, which is what UW System has said, the reason for these cuts. And I don't think anybody is arguing over declining enrollments. I mean, the caller pointed out that Cardinal Stritch College closed as well due to declining enrollment. Our high schools, because of, you know, the ebbs and flows, right? Our birth rates ebb and flow. And right now we're seeing a bottoming of the availability of young people right now. Just a lack of birth rates. And it goes up and down over the course of time. So no one is debating the facts that there are fewer people, human bodies out there looking to go on after high school. And again, I want to be very clear in my personal position. I absolutely think that our tech college system, which is fantastic itself, our tech college system absolutely has a role to play in higher education across this state. Lots of jobs that we need filled that you can get that appropriate education at a tech college versus a four-year baccalaureate degree. But I also feel that there, look, I've been in the job market during the last 5 years. I keenly am aware that there are all kinds of jobs out there that unless you have that four-year degree, you simply aren't even going to be looked at. And you say, don't they look at your life experience? Sure, they do. But if you're applying for a job with the state of Wisconsin, and there are all kinds of jobs out there besides, you know, working at the Capitol that involve working for the quote-unquote state of Wisconsin, or a federal job, or many businesses, but in particular, any government job, if it says that a four-year baccalaureate degree is required, that means that they can't even consider someone that has the equal job experience, because if they do, and someone else with an equal amount of experience and also a four-year degree doesn't get the job, then the state government or federal government can be sued because you required a four-year baccalaureate degree. And this is something that is beginning to change, and I give state government and others credit for it. They're saying preferred, a four-year degree is preferred, which means that people that don't have a four-year degree can be considered. I think that's a good thing. But there's an awful lot of jobs out there that you must have a four-year college degree to even be considered. Also, with the tech world out there, IT and artificial intelligence, engineering jobs, travel jobs, space and science, doctors, nurses, you have to have a four. Well, nurses, I know you can go to like Madison Area Technical College and get a nursing degree there. My aunt did. She was very successful. But there are other, you know, physical therapists, doctors. You have to go to a university to get those jobs, and those jobs need filled. So there is still an acute need for higher education. And don't forget that the whole Wisconsin idea means that the borders of our state are the borders of our university. And so the two-year colleges were created to spread high-quality education throughout all parts of the state, particularly the rural parts, where people might not have the same income, to make it accessible and affordable to get your two-year associate's degree, which is recognized as meeting all the basic requirements, and then you transfer to a four-year and do 2 years there or whatever you need to do to get your four-year degree. And so the point I'm trying to make is that, as Kathy Sandin said on our show last year, the last dean or the last chancellor of the two-year colleges, she put this program together that said, yes, there is declining enrollment. There are fewer people out there, but that means we have to be leaner in some cases and more thoughtful in the courses that we offer and where we do it. But that doesn't mean we have to actually close campuses. We had Steve Wildeck of the UW system, retired now, was on this program, Mr. Summers, a month or so ago. And he pointed out that by closing these campuses, you're really not saving a huge amount of money in the overall budget of the UW system. And in the case of Richland Center, the Richland campus, again, there was the local foundation that offered up, not a pledge, not, you know, hey, we'll have a drive. No, we have well over $2 million in the bank. We will give you a check for $600,000 to fund a recruiter position at Richland Center so that we can keep enrollment up. And System and UW-Platteville said no, which they have never answered the question why they said no. Richland campus had an enrollment of over 500 students, one of the highest in the two-year colleges, over 500 students around 2014, 2015. Then the key person who was the recruiter retired. That position was never filled and recruitment plummeted. Now, part of that might have been natural attrition, but I would argue, and others who actually know this will tell you, the reason the enrollment went down so acutely at Richland is because there was no one there doing full-time recruitment. And I believe it was Lee in Yuba, I know someone whose kid is getting ready to go into college, and this person went to a job recruitment fair at another UW institution, and UW-Platteville was there. They literally had no information on the table about the Richland campus or the Baraboo campus, the two-year campuses under Platteville. Weren't even being talked about. So if kids or parents don't even know that that's an option, if they're not even being talked about or recruited, what do you expect? It's the same thing I talked about before, or made this point before. If you have a potted plant, beautiful fern, whatever it is, and you set it in a sunny window and you don't water it for a month and you come back, of course the plant's going to be dead. If you have a UW institution that doesn't get watered with correct funding, with correct staffing, with correct promotion, guess what? The enrollment's going to decline. I can't speak this knowledgeably about every two-year campus. I certainly can't speak knowledgeably about Cardinal Stritch. I don't know. But I am intimately aware of the facts and the situation at UW Richland. And with proper leadership from state legislators, I will guarantee you the Richland campus would have never closed. And so the question was, if you still want to call in, welcome to call in. Is your legislator representing you? Do you feel that your person in the state legislature, in the Senate, the Assembly is representing you? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. We were, you know, Mrs. Amherst and I were, I don't like to, you know, toot our own horn too much, but we were the first major show program to talk about this a year ago when the Richland campus closed. We said, this is a canary in the coal mine. More of this is going to happen. And some people literally laughed at us. And here we are a year later and it's become reality.
It's a little faster than I thought it was going to happen that so many are being pushed to the sidelines.
And the economic impact, let alone the education, the economic impact of these communities is hard. We'll come back, update you on where you can listen to sports across the Civic Media Radio Network. On the other side, don't go anywhere. Todd Allbull Show.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Wolf. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is great to have you along on a Friday, TGIF, 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Zommer's on the board. Glad to have you along with us. A little bit later, he will be with us and tell us his board game of the week, things that you might like to do over the weekend. Maybe you're going to be on a deer stand and things are slow, and so you pull out maybe a deck of cards or something.
Well, this game is not really going to work in a deer stand.
Of course it won't. Okay, very good. Maybe you're going to come in at night after you're done hunting.
There we go.
There you go. There you go. We'll make that work. Or maybe you're going to take along your smartphone and download the Civic Media app and listen to one of the great sports programs this weekend. Here now, one of our great engineers, Mr. Chris Casper, has brought us in person. Came over here in person and updated us on when and where you can listen to different events. And we appreciate Mr. Casper very much. So here's the rundown. Let me give it to you one more time. This is the updated where you can hear things going on. First of all, tonight, the Wisconsin Badger basketball team plays Robert Morris, right? Robert Morris, that team from Pennsylvania, as Mr. Zommers told us. So Robert Morris taking on Wisconsin tonight, 6 p.m. tip off tonight. So that is going on tonight. That much we know for sure. And then tomorrow on Saturday, we have, first of all, Wisconsin Badger football pregame show at 4:30, tip off time at 6:30 for Badger football. And you can hear that on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WLAK in Lake Air Radio in Amory, and WRCE News from the center in Richland Center. So Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, and Richland Center, you can hear Badger football pregame show 4:30, game time 6:30. Then, also tomorrow, the Milwaukee Bucks play. And you can hear the pregame show at 5:30 and game time at 6. You can hear the Bucks on WCQM up in Park Falls, also WISS in Oshkosh Air Support, and WRJN in Racine in Kenosha. That's where you can find the Bucks game at. And of course, if you want to listen to the Badger game, you can do it on any of those stations, Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, or Richland Center, simply by hitting the app. Because we stream the Badger games, we're able to, the Badger games on the app. The Bucks, NBA says we can't do it. So that's beyond our control. So you have to live in either Park Falls, Oshkosh area, or Racine, Kenosha in order to get the Bucks game. Then on Sunday, the Packers, Green Bay Packers play. Pre-game show at 10 a.m., game time kickoff at noon. You can hear that on WCQM up in Park Falls, WRCO FM 100.9 in Richland Center, or WRJN up in or down in Racine and Kenosha. And again, that one you have to be in one of those communities because the NFL says, no, we cannot stream that. Also, on Sunday, we have UW women's basketball playing, and they're going to break away from the Packer postgame show to carry the Badger women on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WLAK in Amory, and WRCE in Richland Center.
Also earlier, we had a fan of the Badger women's volleyball team call in and wanted to let us know there are some very important games coming up on there as well. Unfortunately, we don't carry those on Civic Media, but I'll let you know where you can watch them.
Yes.
So tonight at Purdue, the Badger women's volleyball plays at 6 p.m. on the Big Ten Network, which you can watch on Fox Sports.
All right.
And then there are a couple other games, but the big one coming up, you mentioned Nebraska earlier.
Yeah.
Nebraska is coming here at 3 p.m. next Friday, November 24th. That is also on the Big Ten Network.
That's a huge game.
That one is very
big. Because Wisconsin needs to win that. I believe there's still, even if they win that, they're going to need help because Wisconsin has two Big Ten losses, I believe. But Wisconsin needs to beat Nebraska, who beat them earlier in Nebraska in the season, and then hope that someone else knocks off Nebraska to have a chance to get another Big Ten title. But a huge game at the Fieldhouse coming up next week for the volleyball women. And, of course, the women's hockey team, number one in the country right now. They're taking on, I believe, number two, Ohio State over the weekend. Always a great game there. And the Wisconsin Badger men's hockey team, number one as well in action. So it is a sports-orific weekend.
A lot of big stuff coming up.
A lot of big stuff coming up. Speaking of big stuff, Rob Gronkowski making the news today over at our friends at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is fantastic, by the way. Rob Gronkowski is partnering with Quick Trip to see how many Wisconsin cities he can pronounce. Of course, Gronkowski, Super Bowl champion with Tom Brady in New England, then went down to Tampa Bay, did the same thing. Now you can find Gronk on Fox Sports Sunday. But here's Rob Gronkowski now trying to pronounce Wisconsin cities.
It's going to be brutal. Warning. Oshkosh. Ashwambanen. Akanomakwako.
Oh my gosh.
Waukesha. Kakana. Wasawa. Waiwaga. Namakagan. Shatek. Green Shatek. Bay.
That's pretty, you know, for someone not from Wisconsin, it's not, I mean, there's a lot
better than
of, a lot of Native American names that we just take, you know, for granted because we grew up here. We know how to pronounce it. But, you know, somebody never, that's an example of how difficult Wisconsin names are. He got Shatek right.
There was one from like 10 years ago from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a video of Texans trying to pronounce Wisconsin city names. I'll have to find that and make sure they don't swear in it. But it was a very funny video. They did very poorly.
Akana Milwaukee got kind of sort of close, but yeah, some of those, not so much.
Didn't really get the Waiowiga.
No, Waiowiga, not so. But again, if you're not from here, right, you just don't. I think it's fantastic that Wisconsin has this rich history of Native American names and that many of our cities are have that pronunciation. But if you're not from here, it's a little difficult.
Even if you are from here and you don't travel a ton around the state, there are plenty of cities in here that I don't know how to say.
That would be great. We should come up with like a list of Wisconsin cities that have like a pronunciation off. See who can pronounce them and who can't.
I think if it's between you and I think you're winning.
I don't know, maybe. We had a great basketball and soccer coach and athletic director at UW-Richland, speaking of the campus there, Tracy Krieger, who unfortunately passed away much too young here a couple of years ago. But Coach Krieger, he recruited this entire state, and we would have contests sometimes to try to name a city that Coach Tracy Krieger had not been to in Wisconsin. And I don't know it. So I used to drive the bus for the soccer team and that's right. So we'd sit in the restaurant. We'd try to just stump him. And there were not too many. We'd try to find some obscure town. Nope, been there. Or a town that we didn't know how to pronounce. He knew exactly how to pronounce it.
Of course.
some people just, they've trained, you know, well, he recruited a lot across the state.
So he had to go everywhere.
But anyway, I thought that was just kind of fun hearing Rob Gronkowski try to pronounce Wisconsin names. We're going to come back on the other side and talk a little board game of the week at the top of the hour. Also, other news-making events and ask for your phone calls as well. So don't go anywhere here. So we roll on here on this end of the week. And, of course, as we said, all kinds of Badger sports going on as well over the weekend. We'll remind you of that one more time before we say goodbye. And then Matt Flynn takes over in our the 2 o'clock hour. We'll simply say that. Don't go anywhere. More with us here at the Town Hall Bowl Show on the other side. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard.
A communications blackout in Gaza easing as phone and internet has been restored in some parts of the strip. The blackout impacting critical humanitarian aid from the UN, which said it couldn't coordinate shipments. A Colorado judge says former President Trump can appear on the state's Republican primary ballots after a challenge to his eligibility under the 14th Amendment's insurrection clause. The judge said that despite also saying that she believes Trump engaged in insurrection on January 6, 2021. The NTSB investigating a Chicago commuter train crash on Thursday that injured 38 people. NTSB Chair Jennifer Hamendi.
We have not yet reviewed the event recorders or the inward and outward facing cameras. We will do that shortly.
The crash happened when the train collided with snowplow equipment left on the tracks. OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, has fired its co-founder and CEO Sam Altman. The company board firing him, citing a communication issue. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Environmentalists are urging Governor Evers to stop a land swap to create a new luxury golf course on the shore of Lake Michigan. Two groups say the proposed exchange would set a bad precedent for state parks and protected lands. The plan would take 5 acres from the Kohler-Andre State Park. Opponents say it would damage the shoreline environment. Supporters say a new golf course would bring economic development. Flu, COVID-19, and RSV are on the rise in Wisconsin. Health officials are urging people to get vaccinated. The Department of Health Services says hospital admissions for flu and RSV nearly doubled this week from last week. COVID-19 hospitalizations are also up slightly this month. Fewer than 1 in 4 people in Wisconsin have had the flu shot, and only 9% have had this year's COVID booster. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The owner of a Michigan rental that's called The Castle is being sued by a group of 7 women who stayed there, found it consumed with bats.
Tell the best part, though.
The exterminator allegedly found multiple inches of bat guano kicking the floor.
I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Oh, my God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Bright sunshine today with highs around 49. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 30. High of 49 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 30.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on a TGIF across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. Friday, November 17th, 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer, talking before the break there, Quick Trip. They got some great marketing. You can't, no matter what your feelings are to Quick Trip, but I think most Wisconsinites have a pretty positive feeling. They got Ron Gronkowski, former NFL player, now NFL analyst, to try to pronounce some of these Wisconsin towns. And it was fun, cute to hear him do that. Mr. Zommers, you found another video of people trying to pronounce Wisconsin towns.
Yeah, there's a video from, it's not the one that I thought it was earlier. This video is from 6 years ago. It's Southern Anglers pronounce Wisconsin cities. And the best part of this, there's some music in the background and you'll hear just some silence every now and then.
They're confused.
Somebody, like some dude wearing a hoodie with some fish stuff on it. I don't know, wearing a ball
an
cap
angler,
and just staring, like squinting and looking at me like, what the hell is that?
All right, we'll take a little bit of it. Here now, a few Southern Anglers. And part of this is just the great, you know, I love a good Southern accent. And Southern Anglers trying to pronounce Wisconsin names.
Oshawabian.
Ashawamian?
There's no M.
No absolute clue. I don't even know who named a city that.
Ashawabina.
Ashwabinin.
Ashwabinon.
Oh, this one could trip up some. It's Ashwabinon.
Manitowoc.
Bingo.
Manitowoc.
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 Okay. Oh.
Manitowoc.
Akananawak.
Akanamua.
Oconomowoc?
Oconomowoc. Pretty good.
Oh, that's a hard one, man.
This is why
we Omega.
We Wiga.
Wyawiga.
Wanawiga?
Wayawiga.
Winyawaga.
Oh, and Wyawiga.
All right, there you go. A few Wisconsin Southern Anglers trying to pronounce Wisconsin names.
Makawiki. It's Manitowoc. Almost everybody got it right. Although I will say one of the mispronunciations was Manitowoc.
Yes.
And at one point, President Obama during his, I don't remember which term, there was an alternative energy company based out of Manitowoc. He came there to visit and he was like, the good people of Manitowoc.
I'm
like,
really?
No one told him how to say the city?
That's a staffer fail right there.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I mean, you're from that area this day. You're from there. So you know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, Manitowoc.
And do you think not my friend, but he's Kristen Bry's friend. Do you know that Kristen Bry is actual friends with Charlie Behrens?
Yeah, he's not from Manitowoc, though.
But he has the Manitowoc. He's from the Milwaukee area, but of course he hosts the Manitowoc Minute. I think Charlie Behrens has done more for Manitowoc than anybody else.
Very possibly.
It brought a lot of recognition for sure.
Well, he's done some work to offset making a murderer.
Right.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, the whole Stephen Avery thing for years after that, like in high school and in college and whatever, I'd meet somebody new. And they'd be like, where are you from? And I'd say, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And they'd be like, oh, do you know Stephen Avery? And I'm like, no, shut up.
Did I ever tell you I met Stephen Avery?
No.
Mr. Zommers looking at me like, are you serious?
I actually, one of my friends lived like less than a mile away from his scrapyard. So I've driven past his place a lot of times, but I never met him.
So here's the quick version. So I was working for the Senate Majority Leader, Dale Schultz, at the time. And remember, Stephen Avery, he got off on the first charge. Remember, there was a charge he got off on and was acquitted for. And so at the time, State Senator Dave Zien of Eau Claire, a very proud veteran, and I believe Stephen Avery may have been a veteran as well. And And so the guy had been acquitted of this crime. And so he thought it was appropriate that the state Senate do this resolution, like honoring Stephen Avery for having been wrongly accused of this crime. And so there was a big resolution, and they brought Stephen Avery in. I think his nephew or whatever was with him, and came in and sat in our office on our couch. And I shook his hand. And I said at the time, something ain't right about that dude. Like he just had a look. He had a vibe of just like something's off about this guy.
First of all, he did it. Second of all, if he didn't do it, he has done plenty of other things.
Right.
Like, I think he microwaved a cat or something.
Oh, Lord.
It was something. I don't remember if that's exactly what it was, but it was something like that. And that was something he definitely did.
Well, so anyway, they did this big, they feted Stephen Avery in the state Senate for having been wrongly accused and wrongly charged and acquitted, and like did a big presentation, and there were pictures and everything like that. I think it was like, I don't know, like 6 months later, something like that. It was not that long later. And then all these other charges came out, and all this stuff about him killing this reporter, this terrible, terrible, horrific murder. And then he gets rearrested, and you know, the story, of course, he finally did get convicted, and then all the Netflix stuff,
Netflix propaganda,
yeah, came out, and you know, was he really wrongly accused or acquitted or charged or whatever, and it became like a national story. But yeah, that was my brush with, it was just a vibe. I mean, people say, oh, you get a certain vibe. Got a certain vibe when Stephen Avery was there.
Sometimes you really do.
Yeah. But anyway, Charlie Behrens did a lot more positive for the area than that.
He's got great vibes.
He's got great vibes. And Mr. Zomers, people can listen to the Cripes cast this weekend, correct?
Yeah, on any of our stations at noon. From noon to one, you can listen to the Cripes cast.
Very good. Noon until one across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Cripes cast with Charlie Behrens. Always informative. The great thing about the Cripes cast is, yeah, you get some vintage Charlie Behrens and some jokes or whatever, but he also oftentimes has some really cool, what I'll call more serious interviews with really interesting people, and you find out some really cool things.
Absolutely. Editing the Cripes cast is a very fun part of my week. Not that I mean, they have their own editors. I just mean editing it to go on the radio, because sometimes they say naughty words.
Do they really?
But especially when he has on other comedians.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he's had on people from Get the Lead Out, an organization that's devoted to getting lead out of fishing and other things like that, because there are other metals you can use that don't kill things.
Right.
And he's done things about electric vehicles, about other environmental impact. He's a very environmentally focused kind of guy.
He is. Charlie Behrens, you can catch him every weekend right here on the Civic Media Radio Network with the old Cripes cast. Want to turn to a little Washington, D.C. wrap-up for the week here, and this according to our friends at WISP Politics. You can find their work at wisppolitics.com. And we talked about this at the first part of the week, and we had other things going on. We never really came back around to it. So I just kind of want to put a button on it in case you hadn't heard. Many people have. There will be no government shutdown this weekend. As you may recall, at the beginning of the week, I said, look, if we don't have a resolution here on the continuing resolution or an agreement in Congress, the federal government's going to run out of money, and there's going to be absolute chaos trying to get around to the airport this weekend if you're flying over, and not this weekend, well, this weekend as well, but next weekend for the Thanksgiving Day holiday. Well, Congress came to an agreement, but the interesting part, to put a Wisconsin lens on it, is that Congressman Mark Gallagher of Green Bay and Tom Tiffany from Northern Wisconsin, both Republicans, they broke with the rest of the Wisconsin congressional delegation, and they voted against the bill to extend government funding. In the Senate, U.S. Senators Tammy Baldwin, Democrat of Madison, and Ron Johnson, Republican of Oshkosh, joined in an 87-11 vote in favor of voting for the measure, and that sends the bill to the president's desk and Joe Biden signing it into law to prevent a government shutdown. But still, Mike Gallagher of Green Bay and Tom Tiffany, they were one of only 95 people in the House to vote against it. The resolution passed the Republican-run House 336-95 with bipartisan support in the government funding issue. Now, newly elected House Speaker Mike Johnson passed the measure with Democratic votes. In other words, more Democrats voted for this than Republicans. So the new Speaker, Mike Johnson, had to rely on Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, and the Democratic votes to avoid a government shutdown. This comes after former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was ousted for making the same move to avert a government shutdown. This is the irony, is that Matt Gaetz and these 8 or 10 Republicans that forced Kevin McCarthy out of the speakership, the big thing, that his big offense in their eyes, was making a deal with the Democrats to avoid a government shutdown. And here now, their own Freedom Caucus guy, Trump's Johnson, Mike Johnson, had to use Democratic votes to do the same thing. The measure would divide government funding into two portions. The two funding deadlines now are January 19th and February 2nd. What do you make of this? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Jack in Merrimack, one of my all-time favorite callers. Jack, we appreciate you listening and calling in. What do you make of Democrats bailing out Mike Johnson? And more so, right here in Wisconsin, you got Tom Tiffany and Mike Gallagher voting no.
Again, this is the typical Republican. We've got a huge national debt, but still we're going to give trillions to billionaires. We've got this huge national debt, but still we're going to throw on 40, 50 billion to the defense funding bill. But then, we got to do something about this national debt, so we're going to stop the government, which, of course, will jack up the interest rates, increasing, guess what? The national debt. That party ought to call themselves the Republicans. We can't do anything about real governance. All we can do is obstruct. I'm sorry. I get disgusted with this kind of stuff. This is way, way voting against something like that. Way, way out of the realm of reality.
Appreciate it, Jack. I really appreciate the point of view. Have a great weekend up there in beautiful Merrimack. Jack at Merrimack. If you'd like to be like Jack, give us a call. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. To Jack's point, it is really fascinating to me that Republicans, simply the leadership, the Republican Party, particularly in the House, simply can't govern right now. They can't get anything done. And Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats decided, you know what? We're not going to not pay military people. We're not going to create a huge TSA problem over Thanksgiving weekend. And it took Democrats to join Mike Johnson and to keep the country going. To Jack's point, Republicans just having an awful hard time governing. Now, Gallagher, technically he's from Alawese, but that's basically Green Bay. Mike Gallagher, who voted against keeping the government going, he said that he bemoaned Congress, according to his politics, for wasting 45 days since the last short-term funding bill instead of fixing what he called a broker appropriations process. He also said there is irony in passing the measure to run through Groundhog Day. All right, I guess you could take that. We're going to come back to the other side. If you're holding on the lines, don't go anywhere. We will take you when we come back. Cindy from Appleton, get your thoughts on a couple of Republicans in Wisconsin voting no on keeping the government running. We'll have that. Also, Mr. Zomer's board game of the week. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media. Ready to go.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows like Friends for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
UpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock, coming up at 2 o'clock, national news and check of weather. And then our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, will be taking you to the front lines of history. History being made every minute of every day. As Matt likes to remind us, he will take us to the front lines of history with news and analysis. Do not miss it. Matt Flynn Direct coming up at the top of the hour. Right now, I want to pick up a couple of phone calls over the break there talking about the government shutdown that was at least temporarily diverted, Congress passing a continuing resolution, taking Democratic support in the House to do so. But here in Wisconsin, Mike Gallagher of the Green Bay area and Tom Tiffany of Northern Wisconsin, both Republicans, voting no. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Cindy in Appleton, appreciate you listening. Cindy, I believe you probably are represented by Congressman Gallagher. What say you?
I am, and I think Toxic Tiffany is basically a waste of good toilet paper. And right. I am surprised that Mike Gallagher, Mr. Semper Fi, would throw his veterans under the bus.
That's a great point, Cindy. That if this had not passed, every military person would not be being paid after today. And it's just, I can't imagine anything more offensive if you say you love the country and love our military to say, oh, by the way, I'm not going to pay you. I agree with you, Cindy. Yep. I mean, Mike Gallagher, as Ricky Ricardo once said, got some splaining to do. So we'll see. Cindy, great call. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Dick here in Madison, listening in on WMDX. Dick, what say you?
Well, both at the state and the federal level, this is how I'm starting to look at the Republican Party. I don't know if this would be a mission statement for him, but here's why I'd sum him up. We had a guy at work, we used to call him crisis management. He'd create a crisis, and then he'd try and manage it.
Yeah.
And that's basically all they do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least at work, this guy really meant well. But he'd have a tendency to blow things way out of proportion and, you know, take things and run away with them and create something that really wasn't fair. But these guys, they kind of do the same thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. And again, it goes back to leadership and the ability to lead and the ability to govern. And the Republican leadership, so far, not doing so hot.
Not at all.
I appreciate the call, Dick. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend. It is now 1:53, time once again for Board Game of the Week.
Welcome one, welcome all. Time again for Board Game of the Week. Today, yeah, we have Code Names.
Like Code Names, or the code names is the name of the game?
Code Names,
oh, right,
is the name of the game.
All right, very good.
So Code Names is a game for 4 to 8 people. It takes about 15 minutes to play, so nice and quick. It's pretty simple. It's a game about secret agents and trying to give clues to get your teammates to guess them, but yeah, not to give too much information away to the other team.
All right.
So you have a bunch of word cards on the table. It'll be words like horseshoe, dog, lock, box. I don't know. Like, just
is
random.
This, wait a minute. Is this the test they gave to Trump, or is this a game?
No comment.
Okay, very good. Go ahead.
I'm legally not allowed to answer that question.
All right.
But just various nouns.
All right.
And then you have two people on each, or one person on each team is the spy master. And they get to see a card that says which of those words belong to each team and which of them is the assassin. So each of those words is a code name for a secret agent. And let's say carrot is on the red team, and you might give a clue, vegetable. And then you say the number of cards on the board that it applies to. And you're trying to come up with words that match multiple cards so your teams can guess as many of them as possible, but not lead them astray, because if you pick cards from the other team, then they get the point.
Got it.
And if you pick the one on the board designated as the assassin, your team immediately loses.
Ooh.
So there's a little bit of danger, a little bit of suspense. Yeah, it's just clever little word hints, plays pretty quickly, and it can lead to a lot of inside jokes. As many word games can, where you're like, that's the word you thought of? That's what you thought?
A double entendre, maybe, perhaps,
yes,
as
absolutely.
Well. You know, depending upon the age of the person you're playing with, the group, you know, that'd be kind of fun as well.
Yeah, that's one thing that's really nice about it, is that you can play it with kids or you can play it with adults, and it can be a little bit different.
A little bit tawdry.
Yes, absolutely.
My kind of game. All right, very good. How much does it cost?
$15.
Only $15. That's a deal.
Sometimes a little more, but it's pretty often on sale. Like right now, I think you can actually probably get it for like 10 or 12.
Oh, nice. Once again,
Codenames
is your board game of the week. Very good. I might have to check that out over the holiday. Big Thanksgiving next week up at Richland Center at Mom's. Got to prepare for it this weekend. It's so big, it takes an extra weekend to prepare. That's how big it is. You understand?
That's pretty big.
So I'm going up there to get and help Mom get prepared a little bit. So looking forward to that. I'll be in Richland Center. You this weekend? Where are you going to Manitowoc?
I am not going to the lovely town of Manitowoc.
Okay. Well, are you staying in town? Very good.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Well, again, to all the deer hunters out there, the gun deer hunters across the state of Wisconsin, have a safe hunt. Use your wisdom, use your brain, but also have some fun as well. And enjoy the time together, enjoy the time. The woods are going to be warmer than a lot of hunters might like it this weekend. No snow for tracking deer, at least in Wisconsin.
At least it'll be easy to move around. You won't have all these layers. You're trying to waddle through the woods.
Right. Just a pair of jeans and probably a blaze orange jacket is all you need this weekend.
Don't forget, most important item of blaze orange is a hat.
100%. 100%. Especially if you got a balding head like me. You don't want to have that shine, you know, hitting somebody's scope. You know, I can't see in my scope. It's a reflection off of Todd's head. No, but have a safe hunt. Have a good hunt. A couple of big shows coming up next week. Our friend John Roach, our ongoing contributor. We will have our monthly conversation with John Roach of Madison Magazine, author, writer, film screenwriter as well, coming up on Monday. And then on Tuesday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court is going to be taking up the Fair Maps case, and we are going to have both of the authors of the last true bipartisan Fair Maps bill, former Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz, a Republican, former Senate Majority Leader Tim Cullen, a Democrat. They had the last true bill in the legislature on redistricting. They will be here live in studio on Tuesday. So all that coming up next week. So be
That's
joining
some
us.
Stuff then. We don't want to miss. Yeah.
It'll be fun next week. Until then, for Mr. Aaron Zommers and all of us here at Civic Media, for Chris Casper as well, for giving us that information on the Badger sports games. Thank you to everyone who made the show go today, particularly you out there for listening. Stay tuned. Our friend and colleague Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct is next. Don't go anywhere. Until next week, this is Todd Allball saying whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging on your drum.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Say it with me, the Boxing Six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Many patients and staff have left Gaza's largest hospital.